Hallelujah. I mean, that's a powerful testimony. And I believe God's touching people in this room right now. And, you know, there's healings physically. There are jobs in the atmosphere. I believe that God wants to give us employment. Those without employment, God wants us to give employment, faith to those who need a job today. So here's what I want to do in Jesus' name. I want everyone who's currently looking for a job but does not have one to stand to your feet. Amen. I'm believing God for you this morning. It's going to be a powerful manifestation. Because when I walked up here, I felt like the Lord said, there are jobs in the atmosphere. I said, okay, God, let's get them down here and into the right people. Amen. So look at the people around you. Get a bead on them. Get an eye on them. And I want you to go to them now and just lay hands on them and agree with them in Jesus' name for prosperity and increase. Come on, let's do it now. Everybody else, let's put our faith together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe, God, that there is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. We believe, Lord, today that you said you would meet all of our needs. Therefore, Father, we know that you have employment, not just a job, but the best job, just the right job for the individuals, oh God, who are standing. We come in faith believing together, Lord, that you are going to manifest yourself. You are going to show yourself strong on their behalf. Father, we glorify your name today. We know, Lord God, that there are going to be businesses, there are going to be individuals that are going to be looking for key people, and we're believing, God, today that you are going to connect them with the right individuals this morning, and they're going to have a job within the next 7 days. God, we just put that faith out there, and we say within the next week, they're going to be employed, no longer unemployed, and they're going to have a job, Lord, that's going to meet their need and have plenty more to put up in store, and we're just putting our faith together now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now, those that are looking for a job, stay standing. Those that are looking for a job, stay standing. The rest of you can be seated. Stay standing if you're looking for a job. Now, business owners, people that have connections, people that know somebody that might need someone, I want you to look around and look at these individuals and then talk to them after the service, because there could be very well your job sitting three rows behind you. People know people, and God's brought you into this house for a reason. And if you know you can help them or give them guidance in any way, I want you to see them afterwards. Now, the Holy Spirit will show you which person. And maybe you're a business owner and you say, you know what, I can use somebody. Even if it's temporary, you say, I can use them maybe for the next 6 months or whatever. And I don't want to see any unemployed person in our church. That's what I'm believing God for. Amen. Everybody that comes to this church will be employed. Also, stay standing. I want them to see you and let the Holy Ghost speak to them. Also, we don't believe in premature deaths here. We don't believe in any premature deaths. That we live out our days according to God's plan and purpose on the earth. And we don't do funerals for people that are supposed to live. Amen. So we believe nobody's going to die prematurely. We believe that everybody that wants a job can have a job and will be employed. Amen. And we don't believe in divorce in this church. Let me just make this declaration. I believe that your marriage can stay together. When you come here, it'll become stronger. God will rescue you in the middle of your struggle. How many know that God is able? Amen? See, if you and I don't put our faith out there, then it's never going to happen. So we got to believe God for it. All right, now those of you that are standing, get bold, turn around, put on your best I need a job face and wave at everybody. Come on. And you can be seated. Praise God. Amen. I just got to believe that, don't you? Amen. I mean, you could choose to believe the other. Why do that? Let's believe God. And I want to hear the testimonies in 1 week. I want you to tell me that you got a job on Monday. Somebody called you on Wednesday. And even in the midnight hour. I like that song we sang in it. We're blessed in the city. Amen. We're blessed in the field. Everywhere we go, we are blessed. But don't get in there. Don't chime in with CNN. Don't chime in with the world. No, no, no. You are different. You are special. You are unique. You got the anointing of God on you. God's got a plan and purpose for you, and your needs are going to be met. So don't chime in with the world that says there's just no jobs out there. Shh, don't say that. There's the right job for you. Amen. All right. Don't let me get started on that. Let's get to the Word of God this morning. Amen. Go to Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi. Everybody say Malachi. Malachi, the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament. Now, have you ever seen a person give their last word before they died? You know, sometimes before executions, they'll say, "Do you have anything to say?" Now, I've often wondered why they ask that. What difference does it make? You're about to pull the plug on me, and what I say is not going to change anything. But they give a man, or they give a woman, an opportunity to say their last words. The last words. You know, I remember when my father died, he said something to me he hadn't said his whole life. In the last minute of his life, he said, "I love you." And I got angry because I said, "Why did you say that earlier? Why did you wait till now to say that?" But those are his last words. And you know what? I haven't forgotten those last words. They've rung in my memory and in my mind and in my spirit. And I know that he loved me. But he didn't have understanding of how to love. He never learned love from his father. And so it was one of those situations. But you know what? Here's an Old Testament prophet. Right before the Old Testament comes to a close, and there was 400 years of silence before John the Baptist broke in with "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And these are the last words inscribed under the Old Covenant by Malachi. And in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 8, we read these words, which are the last words, which are the most important words, which are the words that are emphasized. He said, When you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? In other words, Malachi said in chapter 1, and you may want to make an outline of this. He said in chapter 1, give quality seed. Don't give sick seed. Don't give lame offerings. Malachi said in the last of his words before the New Testament, he said, give quality seed. You might want to write that down. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. He goes on to tell us something else in this little book of four chapters of Malachi, the prophet in the Old Covenant who declared the last words of God before Jesus broke in on the scene. He said, and now, O priest, this commandment is for you. He was telling us he wants them to give glory to his name. He told the priests to give glory to his name. Say that with me. Give glory to his name. You see, the first chapter tells us to give quality seed. The second chapter said, give glory to his name. Now look at chapter 3 and verse 18. You're going to see an outline for success in Malachi that was established through the covenant Jesus made with the Father at Calvary. Here it is, chapter 3 and verse 18. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. In other words, he said, not only should you give quality seed and give glory to God, but I'm going to make a difference between you and the wicked. That's why I spoke to you today about you needing a job. You need to take this by faith and say, you know what? I'm not like everybody else that's unemployed. I am the righteous on the earth. God said he would make a difference. He would show a difference between my life and the life of those who don't serve God. See, that's for you. That's for me. And we understand that these last words ought to be inscribed in our heart. But he didn't stop there. He went into chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 2 of Malachi. He said this, but to those who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. I like that stall-fed calf thing. That tells me you don't even have to go out to pasture and find your own grass. God said, I'll bring it to you right where you are. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost is going to seek you out, find you, and bless you right where you are. Now, we see these are the last words of Malachi. Understand, this book is prophetic. Understand, it also includes about the tithe and offering, which I didn't make reference to. It also includes about turning the hearts of the fathers back to the sons and the sons back to the fathers, which I did not make reference to. But the themes of each chapter talks about giving quality seed, giving glory to God's name, that there was going to be a difference made between you and the wicked. And number three, healing and authority are coming to the righteous. And that's what ought to characterize our lives in this day. I'm going to take on, by my confession of my mouth, these four attributes in my life. I'm going to be a quality seed giver. I'm going to give glory to God in everything. Come on now. I'm not only going to give glory to God when I'm blessed or I'm feeling good, but even when I'm in struggles or trials, I'm going to give glory to God. I'm going to give quality seed even when I don't have much to give. But what I give will be quality because I know these are the last words of God to the prophet Malachi to the church. I'm also going to understand that there's a difference between me and everybody else. I've got to believe that there's a difference in my house from every other house on the street unless they're serving God. But those that aren't serving God, when I walk into a mall and there may be 200 people there, or I walk into a stadium and there's 80,000 there, I don't know how many other believers there are, but I'm going to tell you something. If there is 20,000 people, 80,000 people, and I walk in as the righteous, according to Malachi chapter 4, I'm not like those people. I'm different. You've got to get that mentality in your spirit. Don't let this world mold you into their thinking. You are unique. You are different. You are on assignment. You have a purpose, a destiny. God has saved you for this hour. So with that understanding, we want to look at something this morning. We want to learn how we ought to conduct our life on a day-to-day basis. On that foundation of giving quality seed, on that foundation of giving glory to God, come on now, on that foundation that there is a difference between me and everybody else, on that foundation that I walk in healing and authority in my life, I understand that I got to be thankful. Quality seed is when it's our best seed. Now, when God gave His seed, He didn't give you imperfect seed. When God sent His only begotten Son into the world, He didn't give you a half son. He didn't give you a tainted son. He didn't give you a sin-filled son. He gave you the spotless Lamb of God, His precious only begotten Son. He gave quality seed. You see, the real key in walking in this foundation is giving glory to God. I want you to turn with me to Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 51, verses 1 and 2. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. How many follow after righteousness this morning? Come on. All right, here's the word of the Lord. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. How many seek the Lord in here? All right, God's talking to you. Look at somebody and say, God's talking to you. Come on, let's engage this word. He's talking to you. He's saying, listen to me, those of you that follow after righteousness, those of you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn. Look to the rock. Look to the rock. Don't look to the examples of the world. Don't look to the nations. Don't look to the news reports. Don't look to other people. Look to the rock. Say it with me, look to the rock. Shout it with me, look to the rock. From which you were hewn into the hole of the pit from which you were dug. In verse 2. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Watch this. He tells us two things to look to. What did he tell us to look to? He said to look to what? The rock. And then what did he say? Look to what? Okay, here it is. Look to the rock and look to the... Abraham. Everybody help me with it again. First one is rock answer. The second answer is Abraham. Are you ready? Look to the
rock.
And look to
Abraham.
So we ought to then look at the rock and look at Abraham if that's what God is telling us to look at. Look at the rock. We know that's Jesus. We know we need to look to the Word. That's a given. So let's look at Abraham. Let's begin to look at Abraham in regards to seeking the Lord and understanding that he was a pattern, or he was a forerunner for you and me. That's why Isaiah is telling us to look to Abraham. I want you to look at his example. Now, this is a key to get your breakthrough. Every person that stood that needs a job, I'm giving you a key that will release your employment. I believe that. With all my heart. Now watch. Romans chapter 4. Turn in your Bible. Romans chapter 4. Or look at the screen. Verse 18. Who, contrary to hope. Contrary to hope. In hope, believed. Now who are we talking about in here? We're talking about Abraham. Everybody say, we're talking about Abraham. All right, I want you to understand Romans chapter 4, who contrary to hope, Abraham, who contrary to hope, watch, in hope believed, so that he, Abraham, became the father of many nations. Now Isaiah the prophet said, look to Abraham. Romans chapter 4 is giving us an example of what he did. He, contrary to hope, in other words, everybody's unemployed. 600,000 more people lost a job. The interest rates are down. There's no money to lend. There's foreclosures everywhere. The stock market's gone crazy. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed? So that he, Abraham, became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, I'm going to hold that verse right there. It's okay, verse 19. So shall your descendants be. You better grab hold of that. In other words, in hope, contrary to all hope, in hope he believed. And then he said, so shall your descendants be. So shall those who follow you, in contrary to hope, in hope will believe. So if you and I are sons of Abraham, even in times of hardship, in times of trial, in times when the circumstances don't tell us it's going to work, we say, look to Abraham. So contrary to hope, in hope we believe. Then verse 19, and being not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So now we look to Abraham. Number one, we understand we do not, even though it doesn't look good, we still have our hope in our faith in God. Why? Because we're living our life on four foundational principles of Malachi. Malachi gave us the transition of faith into the new covenant, which was established through Jesus as Abraham, the covenant of Abraham came through Jesus as the blessed seed of the nations. Now that Jesus is in our heart, we now are partakers of the Abrahamic covenant. Do you follow me? So now we understand that I am not going to waver in on the promise just because of contrary circumstances in my life. I've got to make a determination that if God be God, then serve him. Now watch. Strengthened in faith, and what did he do? The last four words of that verse, read it with me. Ready? Read. Giving glory to God. Verse 18. Go back to verse 18. Verse 18. There he goes. No, wait a minute. Verse 20. Yeah, go on. 18, 19, 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. There it is. Say it with me. Giving glory to God. Now, we often overlook that little scripture. But God so loved the world that he gave. In giving, there is a release. Abraham gave something. You say, yeah, he gave Isaac up. Well, that's true, but it doesn't mention Isaac. Abraham paid tithes. That's right, but it didn't mention that either. What does it say? He gave what to God? He gave glory to God. Look to Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so shall your descendants be. In other words, this is a pattern for you to become the foundation of Malachi that I prophesied would come in that hour. So we need to learn how to do what? Give glory to God. Now, when do we give it? When things are good? When you got your job? Oh, glory to God, I got hired. We ought to be saying, oh, glory to God, I'm going to be hired. Oh, glory to God, I got healed. Oh, glory to God, I'm believing I will be healed. I'm already healed. You see, giving glory to God is key. When we don't consider the evidence around us and we do not waver at the promise, he kept giving glory to God when he wasn't receiving. Now that's important. He kept giving glory to God when he wasn't receiving. In other words, that's why the Bible records it is more blessed than to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because Abraham gave glory even though he hadn't received the promise. Because he understood it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So his focus wasn't on the child. His focus was on giving glory to God. Now, let me ask the question. Every unemployed person that stood, when's the last time you got on your knees in the morning, lifted up your hands and said, Father, I want to give you glory. I want to give you praise. I want to give you thanks for the job that I'm about to receive today. Even though you'd got no phone calls, no emails, no response on the resume, you listen to the news and the emotions are more depressed than they were the day before. Everybody told you how bad it was. You picked up the newspaper and it said unemployment reaches high in Lorain County, 14%. Schools have to cut back. They don't have money. Governments are going to have to cut back services, laying off firefighters, laying off police. They don't know what to do. The government's going to shut down. They're going to borrow $1.9 trillion. They're going to print more money, and our dollar's going to devalue, and we're not going to have any. We're going to have to go to the Amero, like the Euro, and it's going to be a multiple nations currency, and it's moving towards the one world government. Oh, what are we going to do? No, in spite of all that, I gave glory to God this morning. Because I don't consider the evidence. Are you hearing me this morning? You say, well, I don't have any money to give any offering. Do you got some glory to give? Say, you got glory to give. Look at someone and say, you got some glory. Come on. Look at them and point at them and say, you got some glory. Are you going to give it? Or are you going to keep it? Are you stingy this morning? What are? Are you a praiser? Are you going to sit back and hold your glory? See, we've learned how to be stingy in our wallet, but it's only a manifestation and a symptom of our heart. We haven't given glory to God because that's why we can't give our money. I think somebody ought to just praise Jesus right there. Give him some glory. Woo, hallelujah. Give him some glory. Here's the option during a trial. Has anybody ever been in a trial? Okay, good. All of us. How about now? Is there anybody currently going through a trial? Good. I'm preaching to the right group. Here's your options during a trial. You could either give God the glory, or you can fill your mouth with murmuring and complaining. Because either you're thanking and giving God glory this morning, or you're murmuring. You can't do both. Let me make that real clear. You cannot give God glory and complain at the same time. And how many know that God responds to quality seed? No, not your $1,000 bill. Because you can give a $1,000 bill and before you hit the door be complaining about it. No, no, God responds to quality seed of giving glory, giving praise to God. That's what empowers that offering. What empowers that offering is your giving glory to God. How do we know that? Because Isaiah 51 said, look to Abraham. Look to Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Didn't look at the circumstances, but continued giving glory to God. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. He tells us not to complain. Now, I don't know why this is in the Bible. Because we all do it. And I'm guilty. Come on now. I'm preaching to me. I'm not above this. I'm being spanked just like you are this morning. Here it is in the Bible. What does it say? Nor complain. As some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Did you know when you fill your mouth with complaint, you enable the destroyer to go to work? Notice complaint and destroy is together. That's scary to me. When I fill my mouth with complaining, I empower the destroyer to do some destroying. That's why I've got to be careful that I got to give God thanks. Matter of fact, I think the Apostle Paul said something like that in the New Testament. Somewhere in Thessalonians, didn't he say? Always give what?
Thanks.
Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Wait a minute, did he say that? He said, what? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. People say, well, I'm trying to find the will of God. Doggone it, I can't find the will of God. God, why don't you show me what the will of God is? Give thanks. Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to know what he wants me to do. Give thanks, and he'll show you. Giving thanks or giving glory unto the Lord. Look to Abraham. To be thankful is to be fruitful. Say that with me. To be thankful is to be fruitful. Write that down. To be thankful is to be fruitful. Look at Psalm 67, verse 5 through 7. Because thankfulness provokes increase. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Look at verse 6. Then the earth shall yield her increase. That's so powerful to me. He said, let the peoples praise you. Ah, let the peoples praise you. Ah. Said it twice. Then, when the people praise you, then the earth shall yield her increase. Don't tell me there's no jobs in Lorain County. No, no, no. Don't tell me God doesn't have a house for you. Don't tell me he doesn't have a honey and a spouse and somebody waiting on you if you're single. Don't tell me that. He said, if you will praise me, if you will give me glory, the earth. He didn't say the earth in Charlotte, North Carolina, or just the earth in San Diego, California, or the earth over up there in Africa somewhere. He said the entire earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. And that's why I was so happy about that song this morning. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed. Whew. Honey, when I praise the Lord, the earth has got to give up its increase. Because that's what the Bible says. Look at verse 7. And God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And look at those, say, ooh, how come you're so blessed? Because I gave him glory. And why would you give God glory? Look at your circumstance. Look at your situation. Honey, I don't look at situations. I look to Abraham. He was my example, who contrary to hope, he still hope believed. And God, giving glory to God. And according to Psalm 67, I just want you to know, when you praise God, the earth has to respond and yield its increase. I think I'm preaching myself happy. Some of you ain't got it yet because you still have that like Paul Hubbard said Thursday, you still got that prune pickle face. Nothing multiplies until you give thanks. Say it with me. Nothing multiplies until you give thanks. Watch this now. John chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Nothing will multiply until you give thanks. There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he what? Nothing multiplies without thanks. The earth will not release its increase until there's thankfulness. Till you give God the glory, the earth is in a famine. Your life will be in a drought. It's a principle in the Word of God. So I've got to be careful that my mouth was not created to grumble and complain, but it was given to me so that I might rule and reign. Do you understand that? So therefore, when I release praise, giving glory to God, the earth has to comply. It's a spiritual law. So what did Jesus do, the Son of God? He got the 5 loaves, he got the 2 fish, sat all the people down, and here's what he did. And when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. How much do you want? You determine it. How much do you want? Then give him thanks for it. Well, I'll tell you another one. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus came up to the tomb. He said, take away the stone. And then he stopped. He said, now, God, I know you can do this, but just so that they know, I give you thanks. And when he did that, hell had to let go of Lazarus. Death had to loose its grip. He called Lazarus forth on his praise. Ooh, man, I feel the cold Holy Ghost right there. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. What's dead in your life that you need to have resurrected? Come on, give glory to God. I mean, I'm preaching real good, and some of you still sitting there like you're half dead. Come on, give glory to God. Woo-hoo. Woo. Look at Luke 17. And fell down at his feet. Say the next 3 words with me. Giving him thanks. Oh, that's too easy. Preacher, give me some formula, some 10 steps. Give me something to make my college degree really challenge. Give me my engineering mind. Come on. This is like elementary school. There were 10 lepers. 1 came back and said, I got to give you something. Before I leave out of here, I got to give you something. I got to give you thanks. When he gave him thanks, something was released. It was called wholeness. Man, I could take you through the Bible one situation after another. Thankfulness releases increase. Some of you are so mad at God, mad at life, complaining about everybody, everything. You hate the neighbor. You hate your employer. You're mad at the president. You're mad at the preacher. You're mad at everybody. And you're living in famine. Go to, now let's skip that. Let's go to Philippians 4:10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Read that last little phrase with me. But you lacked opportunity. He's talking to the church at Philippi. Paul's saying, I know you cared for me, but you didn't have the opportunity to demonstrate. You didn't have the opportunity to demonstrate. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 10. This is a key word, opportunity. Everybody say opportunity.
Opportunity.
Therefore, as we have what? Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. God gives opportunity to you and me. Opportunity comes to us as we walk by faith, even though, contrary to hope, we still believe. That's an opportunity. You had an opportunity to give God thanks and you missed it. That's what the Lord showed me this week about me. I'm not talking about you now. I don't know what you all do. I'm just telling you what I've done. I had opportunity to give God thanks and I missed it. And the opportunity door closed. How many know that opportunity opens up and knocks? And if you don't answer the door, opportunity stops knocking. You say, well, how many times will opportunity knock? I don't know that. But don't miss your opportunity. Opportunities to give glory to God create greater possibilities and harvest later. They're designed to turn your captivity. Opportunities are designed to turn your captivity. We as a church have been programmed by this world. That's why Paul said in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't look at a problem as a problem. You look at a problem as a opportunity. Because why? I've got to transform mine. That's not a problem. Hey, this is an opportunity for God. Why y'all look at me like that? It's not a problem. I don't have any problems. All I have is a truckload of opportunities. Give glory unto God. That's what the Bible says. Opportunities. Say opportunities.
Opportunities.
Look at Psalm 126. They're designed to turn your captivity. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Verse 4, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. Bearing what?
Seed
for sowing. You thought just throwing money at God will turn your captivity. Quality seed is giving thanks to God when opportunity presents itself. They shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, we will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I'm bringing in my sheaves. I'm just getting ready because I know my blessing's on the way. Why? Because I'm giving God glory even though I don't see any evidence to give Him glory. But based on His word, I'm bringing in my sheaves. The abundance of God. Your gift giving goes on record in heaven when you give thanks. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, Cornelius is a great example of this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Verse 2, he goes on to tell us that he would always give alms to the poor. He had a reputation of building the church, giving money to the synagogue. And he was a Greek. He was a Gentile. Now, why would anybody give to God when you had no covenant right to receive? Because Cornelius didn't give with the expectancy to receive. He gave with the declaration of giving God glory. I'm going to have to work this a minute because some of you aren't catching it yet. We often have been taught to give to receive. That's true in part. But giving, Cornelius gave with no possibility of receiving. He wasn't in covenant with God. He was a Gentile. You understand that? But he gave. Can you get me verse 2? Y'all find verse 2? But he gave anyway. But he did so with a pure heart to say, I give you glory. I give you thanks. And when he did that, it produced something in heaven. All right, if you ain't going to find it, I'll have to read it. It's 2's after 1. I don't know. Maybe it's just stuck or something. Sometime that thing sticks. So let's look at it. Acts chapter 10. A devout man and one who feared God with all his household. Now, why would he fear God? You hear me? He had no reason to fear God. He wasn't going to heaven. He didn't have covenant, but he feared God. Look at now. Who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now that blows my mind. Why would you pray to a God that doesn't even acknowledge you? You say, well, that's a pretty cruel thing to say. Jesus said it of the Syrophoenician woman. He called her a dog. He said, the bread is for the children of Israel. And she got to him, though, when she said, well, even the little puppies get crumbs off the table. And she began to give him glory. She did. She worshiped him. And Jesus said, all right, you got me. I got to yield my increase even to a dog like you. You know what? That gives me hope. Even if I've been an idiot, even though I've been a dog, even though I've been stupid, even though I've been in sin, even though I haven't acknowledged God, if I'll come into this understanding and truth and give God thanks and give Him glory, it will release the increase that's in my covenant with Him. You and I have an opportunity this morning. It's knocking. How many of us will open the door to the opportunity? And when he observed him in verse 4, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Everybody say memorial. Memorial. How many have ever been to Washington, D.C.? Let me see your hand. How many have seen the Washington Memorial? You've seen it on TV? God said his praying and his giving, even though he had no expectancy to receive a thing, became a Washington Monument in front of my face. Now, I don't know how many people God looks at every day, but I got a feeling he looks at everybody. Everybody who has been, everybody who is, and whoever, everybody who shall be. Do you believe that? I believe that. That's a lot of people. But he stopped one day at Cornelius and went, wait a minute. That man has a memorial standing right before his face. He's a giver of thanks. He acknowledges me with no expectation of receiving anything other than to give me all the glory. Then what did God do? There it is, right up on the screen. Look at it. That's what God said. I see something in him. So God told him to go send for Peter. And Peter got a vision from God to go to Cornelius. He said, well, I don't know where I'm going to find a job. Give God thanks. Because God's going to tell you where to go. And while you're going, God's going to tell the employer who to hire. And the rest of the story is history. It was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the Gentile world. All because of one man's giving glory to God. Now, 2 Samuel tells us there's a difference between giving and sacrifice. There's a difference between giving and sacrifice. I was thinking about this the other day. I said, you know, Noah was told by God, build an ark. Can you imagine this now? It had never rained on the earth. It's not like they went out fishing on the weekends. I mean, the boating, no jet skiing. I mean, what did they do? God said, I want you to build a boat. And he said, what's a boat? At this point, my understanding is the earth is encompassed by a mist that watered the earth. And God said, no, I want you to build me a boat. God said, yes, sir. What do you want? What's a boat? He said, this is what it is. I want it this big, this long, this high. Then I want you to go get to everything, put it in there. Because I'm about to send rain. God, I don't know what that is. But I know this. But if you said it, I'm going to do it. And he started building this ark. Now, here's my question. I asked the Lord today. I said, Lord, who financed that project? I just want to know. I think he had a fundraiser. He must have went door to door. Or he took an offering or something. Because how do you build such a boat without finances? Where do you get all the money to build that thing? So I'm starting to think about this. And I said, well, God, he must have got money from the community in which he lived. But then I read the story over again. They were all laughing at him and mocking him for doing what they thought he was a crazy man to do. Now, I know they didn't give. So what was he doing? Where did he get the money? All right, how much do those nails cost? Geez, the price of nails have gone up. Son, go back and get some more pitch. All right, Dad. You got some money, Dad? Yeah, take my card. Take my debit card and go. Noah financed his own destiny. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, that's real good right there. By faith, he built something he never even saw before. He obeyed God to do something that had never happened before. And he paid for it himself. I want to run right there. Little did he know, every time he put a nail in and pitched that side, every time that he labored in the middle of the night and endured the mocking and the ridicule of the neighbors, he didn't realize that he was building his own salvation. He was building his own ark of protection, his own destiny, his own future. When it started raining, he said, hey, Noah, that's a mighty nice looking boat, Noah. Now get in it. What do you mean, Lord? Get in it. Get in it, boy. And when he got in it, I believe the Bible said God closed the door. And he said, stay in there till I tell you to come out. Started raining. And raining and raining and raining. And the waters began to rise. And suddenly that boat began to shift. They were afloat. He stayed afloat in that which he gave God the glory. Opportunity is knocking for you and me this morning. Don't miss it. Because in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 25, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, missed his opportunity. He ran down Naaman and got some gold and clothes for himself. And Elisha said, hey, Gehazi, where'd you go? Opportunity was knocking for Gehazi to come clean. Where'd you go, Gehazi? If he'd have just said, Master, I'm sorry, I repent. I went and I got for myself goods and materialism. But he didn't. He said, I didn't go anywhere. And God said, did not my heart go with you? And the leprosy that was on Naaman will come on you and your descendants. You say, how important is spring seed? I can't tell you how important it is. It's not the money you give. It's the glory that you attach to it. You and I have an opportunity today. You could either take it or you can leave it. You and I today have an opportunity to make a difference in a generation before it's too late. The rescue of a planet or the rescue of a generation? While many sound the alarm of the effects of a polluted planet, we must begin to sound the alarm of a polluted generation. Our children depend upon it. Liberalism, universalism, pantheism, agnosticism, or atheism, we have lost the importance of the value of life. The sanctity of life, human rights, and the redefining of marriage between two loving and cooperating partners. You see, ladies and gentlemen, today we are in trouble. Our children and our teenagers are being impacted like never before. That's why Spring Seed this year must be designated towards saving a generation. In the 1950s, the World War II generation, 65% were biblical-based believers. Of the baby boomers, 35%. Of the Generation X, only 16%. Do you see the downward trend? And this generation, the millennials, only 4% of them are expected to be Bible-based believers. You see, our current society is in trouble. And 35% of our society today are Bible-based believers. America is changing. And if we don't do something today, it will never look the same. What does a nation with only 4% evangelical faith really look like? It looks like the Netherlands that just recently legalized euthanasia. It looks like England where there's nudity in common newspapers. Or Scotland where the consenting age is only 14 years of age. Or in another European country where a pastor was arrested for preaching biblical perspectives on homosexuality. Ladies and gentlemen, we today must sound the alarm. The nations of the earth need the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children must be told the truth. And that's why your Spring Seed gift will help us to recover the heart that has gone wayward. You see, two-thirds of all adults who have given their lives to Christ make their decision before the age of 18. Two-thirds. That's why our children's ministry must be the best possible ministry that we can offer these children. More than 4 million people exit that impressionable, fruitful teenage phase of life every year. 4 million new young adults coming out of those teen years. We really only have 5 years to turn around that 4%. Ladies and gentlemen, that's so critical. Will you help us? Will you sacrifice with me? You might want to ask the question, why should we sacrifice at a time like this? You know, the economy is not that good. Pastor, things are tough. Listen, the reason why is because later will be too late. You and I must partner together to help reach this generation that will ultimately reach the nations of the earth. In Spring Seed coming up, we can do one of three things. You can commit on that day a special offering that is the equivalent to one day's pay. Or some of you may say, you know what? I want to go a little bit further. I'd like to give the equivalent of 1 week's pay. Now, wouldn't that be something to dedicate an entire week of your income dedicated to reaching children, reaching this generation for the Lord Jesus Christ? And then third, one-time large gift of over $1,000 or more. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you're willing to do? This morning, we want to receive our morning tithe and offering. And in that, you received an envelope that says Spring Seed Mission Earth. I'm asking today that you will join me in sacrificial giving. My wife and I are going to make a pledge over the next 6 months to pay our amount. Apart from our cash offering today, we had so much cash to give, and then we're going to give in excess to that over a pledge. And on this envelope, you can see I wish to pledge the amount to give to Spring Seed during offering at Church on the North Coast within the next 6 months. You have also an opportunity to put it on American Express or Discover or Visa or MasterCard. And put that Spring Seed offering as well in the regular offering that we're about to receive this morning. We have a need in our church to address the operations of our ministry with the Spring Seed offering. After that's met, we're then going to put the entire amount, every dollar, every penny, into our children's ministry and our youth ministry. Those statistics I shared with you are real. And actually, we don't have 5 years. They're now saying we have less than four to change a generation. Or America will be just like those European nations, if not worse. Is it important to us today to reach people while they're still impressionable? That's why we've got to sow, and that's why we have to sacrifice. I shared with you over the last 7 weeks the true plan of prosperity as I see it in the scripture. I'm not interested in your money. I'm interested in your increase. But I'm telling you, increase doesn't come by just throwing money at God. It comes when we understand the truth about biblical prosperity. And I pray that I've been able to teach you and instruct you in that way in the last 7 weeks. So let's respond today by faith. Let's believe God to surpass what we've raised in the past years. Let's believe God that we're going to see a difference that we can make. Would you say amen to that? So go ahead and make out your Spring Seed check. Maybe you could put the offering there or your pledge on the envelope. Let's get it ready. And we're going to just begin to believe God as we worship the Lord and know that God has brought us all out of a desert and made us bloom, hasn't He? Hasn't God brought you out of a dry place? Amen. Give God glory. Hallelujah. You see, we ought to give Him glory. So I'm going to ask you today to prayerfully consider your sacrifice. You know, pledging is something that I call faith pledge or a vow. I said, Lord, I don't have the money, but I'm believing every 30 days you're going to give it to me, whether it's $100 or $5 or whether it's $1,000. God will do it if you'll have faith to believe. But let's together make a mark that cannot be erased. And let's begin to declare to this generation that 2009 and 10, actually the next 10 years, I think are going to be the most explosive time for this ministry. If we'll embrace the clarion call of God to put our priorities where they belong, and if we rebuild the gates of Nehemiah's vision in Nehemiah chapters 1 through 3, I believe that Church on the North Coast will triple and maybe even quadruple in size in the next 10 years, having tremendous impact around the nations. I believe we are in a decade of increase. I believe we are engaged in a decade of increase for the people of this generation. So let's sow with that expectancy. Father, we bless this offering now. We thank you that all of these 7 weeks we've prayed, we've fasted, we believe, we've cried, we've called on your name. And now, Lord God, you're moving on people to give their sacrificial seed. We mix it with our glory. We water that seed now with what we say. And we expect, just like Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope we believe. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship as we give this morning.
Desert, when all that's sweet in me feels right, and this is my prayer and my hunger and need. My God is the God who provides, and this is my prayer in the fire, in weakness or trial or pain. There is a faith through the more worth than gold, so refine me, Lord, through the formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and he is here. And this is my prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. You are still God. I have a reason to sing.